Did you guys hear that? What was that? A loud hum or something? Who? Oh, please don't do that again. Yeah, that came right through the mic. People in the room heard it. yeah, please don't do that. Okay, if you can kneel, we're going to start the Lord's Supper in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this ordinance and for blessing us with an understanding of it and how this came about in the way that it replaced the feast days. And it's amazing, too, that this if you look at the calendar, the Jewish calendar, we're actually on the first day of the Passover. Was that same day that, around the same day, I would think, that Jesus and the apostles were keeping the, doing the Last Supper and having the Passover. And so thank you for blessing us, especially on this blessed Sabbath, with your presence. And please bless everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are physically and spiritually ill. Many of us, myself included, need some physical blessings in regards, as well as spiritual. But I uplift many that are dealing with some terminal issues that may end their lives. And so let it be your hand is visible unto them, so that even if they do die, they'll make it home when that day comes. And please bless us with your presence throughout this entire service. And we offer this prayer in the name of your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. And we do have about 15 minutes of Seventh-day Remnant music, right? I'm assuming that, but I'm pretty sure we do. I think we did it last time, so that we don't get hit with any kind of copyright strikes. Because we got enough people in the SDR church now that we don't need to use any store-bought music anymore. Praise his name. Now that we're doing streams, we can't. Yeah, okay, thanks, Joe. Good to know. Good to know, Joe. Okay, so the night that the Lord gathered for the third and final Passover of his ministry, he did, 33 Passovers, obviously, but this was the third and final one because he started 3 years earlier when he got baptized. But this was the third and final one that he would keep with his disciples. We see this occurring 2,000 years ago that night. It's in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and you call me Master and Lord. Oh, wow. Actually, verses 13 to 17. I didn't change the communion Sabbath page. Oh, yeah, because we're just talking about right now is the foot washing. Yeah, that's right. I changed it, but I forgot I should have changed the page to on the communion. So I can leave it there because everybody knows we're on. I should have put the numbers in the verses, though, like Esau does. But if you could find it, let me see if I can highlight it here in the room. I'll you call me Master and Lord. I'm looking for verse 13. And because I can just, I just moved the whole thing. That wasn't good. I'll leave it right there. It won't let me. Oh, maybe I can highlight something. Yep, it looks like it'll highlight if you want to read along. But there it is, right there. So I got that little blue dot down there. So it says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And so we already know it's all about the Passover and stuff like that. That's why I decided to shorten it to that extent in that area. But we were just talking about this, about the foot washing too, because we found, I don't know of any Sunday keeping church that ever did foot washing in my life. And I don't count what the Pope does on camera. It's supposed to be done behind closed doors kind of a thing, and you keep yourself humble. It glorifies him. It's all about self-exaltation, and that's what Catholicism is. It's the exact opposite of what the Bible says to do. So, and I know there's many SDA churches that, at least this is what I'm hearing. I don't go to SDA churches, but some have said they don't do foot washing. But the ordinance of foot washing is an ordinance of Christian service that every obedient Christian understands deep within. It's, there's a reason for it. It's not like baptism. It's not going to get you saved just like baptism doesn't get you saved. It's just, it's part of the acknowledgement of what our Lord and Savior did for us and how for us to get prepared for what we are going to partake in after the foot washing. And so when we gather in this way, as the children of God are brought into holy and blessed relationship with each other, which at the same time helps to bless each other, because Proverbs 27:17, I think I did put it. Nope, I got to really fix that page. So Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so as an obedient Christian who is not afraid to humble oneself like this, this can cut the hearts of many that have issue in this area. You know, because especially when you're young, because I remember when I was young, I was all about me, you know. And so, you know, I can do this, I can do that, you know, it's all about whatever, yourself. And so this humbles you. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:12, and I think that's another one I didn't put on that page. He said, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, or humbled, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And I got to tell you, just like clockwork, when you see this stuff happening out there, like even in the media, I don't know how many people out there seems to happen every week when we start a sermon. My monitor falls out. There. Now it's all out of focus. When I see, and I've seen this so many times in my life, I remember this, just to give you an example, because we see it on the TV all the time, these Hollywood starlets and these politicians, they get up and puff themselves up, make themselves look like they're all that, and all of a sudden, a couple, 3 years later, they're behind bars for something that's really disgusting. So they exalt themselves, and then they're humbled. Well, I've also seen this, and it was sad, and I've always, whenever I think of this, I pray for this young woman that I knew many years ago that would always ridicule waitresses and make fun of them because, oh, it's the worst job in the world, she would say. And I always thought, no, I thought you could actually make a ton of money in some restaurants being a waitress because of the tips. But she would always ridicule them. And I says, you know, because I was a Christian at the time, I was telling her, well, I was trying to be anyway. I was telling her, you know, the Bible's pretty clear about self-exaltation and how you're going to get humbled, and she didn't believe it. Years later, she not only lost her home, lost her car, lost her business. She ended up moving in with her grandma. She ended up becoming a waitress. I kid you not. It's just amazing how the Lord, and it's because the Lord loved her enough to do that. And so this is one of the reasons for the foot washing. It keeps us in that humble state and teaches us how to be like that, because Christ is the most meek. He's so meek and so gentle and so loving. Moses had a pretty good way of emulating him as well. But you know, towards the end, of course, he struck the rock, but then it's his own fault. There's no excuse for that. But we know Moses had a real issue with anger before he became a believer, because he killed a man. So our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, set an example of humility for us to follow 2,000 years ago. And this is so important, in fact, that he himself, who was one equal with God, washed the feet of his disciples that night. And everybody seems to forget the fact that he also created all those people in that room. and everybody in this room, in your homes, right? And so what we do here must be understood is not just an act of outward cleansing as we walk this dusty world, you know, like the apostles did with their sandals because they had dusty streets that they would walk on. I guess they call them paths. I don't know if they call them streets, but what we do now declares to all that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and since he set the perfect example, we're going to obey him and do as he commanded whenever gathered for communion. As Jesus illustrated, it must show that our hearts and then our lives have been changed by him, so as to see no shame in performing such a humble act upon our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So as the word of our loving God illustrated before this night, the disciples were at times, by the way, seeking the highest place in, you know, the soon-to-come kingdom of our Lord. We remember what the mother of two of the apostles asked about, you know, sitting on thrones next to Jesus. And so Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, lowered himself to perform an act of an obedient servant by washing the feet of those that literally called him Lord, so as to show them how to be a loving servant. I mean, can we that love him and obey him do any less? Now think about that. The creator of all that is seen and unseen not only presented himself as a sin offering at the Last Supper by breaking the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, He put an end to the sacrifices, which for the previous 4,000 years were offered for the sins of man. And some say, oh, what do you mean 4,000 years? They didn't start doing it until the Jews came around. Really? Explain what Abraham did. Or what about that little lamb that died in the Garden of Eden? Or Cain and Abel? Look what Abel did. But they always seem to forget that because it wasn't acknowledged as being a religious structure. You know, that, you know, read your Bible. So Passover ended that very night, as the temple veil proved at the moment of his death later. In this final night with his disciples, he instituted a memorial service of foot washing and the sacramental supper that, as he commanded, was to be observed by all his obedient children from that day forward. So let's take a break for 15 minutes. We're going to play some music in the room here and on the stream so that we can go around and wash each other's feet, and then we'll come back, and then we'll take part in the bread and the grape juice. Bread and the wine, biblical wine, fruit of the vine, no alcohol. So let me drop the mic, and whoever's going to be playing the music here, I think it's Brother Joe, we'll take it from there.
Makes me wiser, so. Bye. it's hard of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of seeing mountain roads? Rub of all the shattered dreams of your life. At the feet of Jesus, laid him down.
Perhaps now you can hear me. All right, good. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, brothers and sisters. Just for a mental note, we need to all remember that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how heavy the burdens become that we experience day by day, we need to remember Jesus endured the cross and all it entailed for us. He literally walked a mile in our shoes. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let me see if I have it on here. Nope. I tell you, I really got to update that page. It says in Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So even if the trial becomes very intense, wherein our own lives are literally in peril, we need to echo what Job said in Job 19, verse 25. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Or Hebrews 7:25 that says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so, as we have heard so often from many souls from all around the world, John 3, verses 15 to 17 says, because a lot of people use this, like even in football games, and they make jokes about it too. I've seen some make jokes about John 3:16, but I'm going to read the verse before and after as well. But it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our King, our Savior, our Creator, Jesus Christ, instituted this communion service, that it may remind us of the eternal love of God that has been expressed towards us from his heart to our hearts. Our hearts long to please his heart, as all of us have known since meeting him as our Savior years ago, or even days ago, it doesn't matter. We don't obey him, you know, to escape damnation in the flames like so many before have done in this world. It always comes to mind what happened in 1844, where so many people were thinking that Jesus Christ was coming back, and they were all ready, thinking they were ready, and then when he didn't, because they misunderstood the prophecy, just like Revelation said they would, the Lord purposely allowed that to happen to find out who the serious ones were. Because after he didn't appear, and the investigative judgment started, instead of being the end of the world, only 50 people were left behind to get back into the scriptures to find out where they messed up and get a closer walk with him and better understand his word. The rest ridiculed him because they weren't ready in the first place. They only wanted to act ready because they were afraid of hellfire. But that's not us. We obey him because we love to see him smile. It always reminds me like when I was a little kid, I couldn't do much for my parents, but I wanted to because they, you know, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and food in my belly, and even a bike. I really loved that bike. and so I would do extra chores just to make them smile because there was really nothing I could do. It's the same thing with your Father in heaven. There's not much you can do for him other than make him smile. So as we step to this table to partake in his torn body with the breaking of the bread, and his shed blood by the fruit of the vine, there can be no union between our souls and our Heavenly Father unless it is done through Christ Jesus our Lord in perfect obedience unto what he said he would have us do. The union and love between brother and brother and sister must always be centered in the love of Jesus if it is ever to be blessed. Iron truly sharpeneth iron unto the truth that is eternal, like I shared a moment ago from Proverbs. You know, 15 minutes ago, let's say. So, as heart-wrenching as this may seem to some, and especially to the angels in heaven, I can't even imagine how our Heavenly Father's heart felt at the death of his precious Son, his only begotten Son. But this loving act performed for all of mankind 2,000 years ago was blessed. And with so much love, even the angels can't contemplate it. And it has blessed all of us with everything we need to do, all that he requires us to do until we are blessed to go home to be with him in New Jerusalem. He grants us the faith and the understanding and the love for each other by that simple act, because when we embrace him, he embraces us. And it is by his fruits we are known. And that's why he said what he said about their fruits, about us being fruit inspectors. Christ died for us. And Christ arose for us. And Christ will come again to take us off this sin-sick world. And upon this long prophesied reality, we must fix our faith. And with that said, it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, you know, that Passover night with the Last Supper and all that, that's what Paul's talking about here. He goes that the Lord Jesus, that same night, in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so let's get on our knees. We're going to give thanks for the bread, and we're going to give thanks for the wine at the same time. And we'll finish reading on from there. So please kneel if you can. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us. And thank you for loving us so much that you wink at our times of ignorance when we don't realize what we're doing is wrong, and then forgiving us when we do realize it, and then confess and repent of it. Thank you so much for what you stated in 1 John 1:9, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as if we ever, never even did the sin. Such love, Father, we can't even contemplate that kind of love down here. No one could from the last 6,000 years. It doesn't matter what day of age we all lived in. It doesn't matter. That kind of love is way beyond our understanding. It's so beautiful. So thank you. And so please bless this bread we're about to partake in, which we know symbolizes the broken body of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for also blessing this wine, as you call it in your word, the fruit of the vine. No fermentation in it, and no leaven in the bread either, because we know your Son was, there was no sin in his flesh, and there certainly was no corruption in his body, because he got up in 3 days. Death could not hold him because he's perfect. And so thank you for blessing this bread and wine that we partake in. And with that being said, please eat of the bread, everyone. And let me finish reading the verses, and then we'll drink the grape juice. It goes on to say that after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so with that, we drink the wine, the biblical wine. And with that, we close the service. Someone please share a song, and then we'll finish in prayer. Thank you. Please do so. We're going to finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with this Sabbath day. And please continue to bless it throughout the remainder of it. And bless us in this week ahead. Give us good work to do. Give us opportunities to share a smile when they expect a frown. And let them see Jesus in us. Let them be blessed by the meekness of Christ. There are so many souls out there that are in need of the truth, Father. And so little time to do it. So please bless our efforts. Give us the tools we need to go forth. And forgive those that come against us. Doesn't matter what denomination it is. Forgive them all, Father, for they know not what they do. And thank you for blessing us with the courage to stand firm no matter what. Thank you always for blessing everybody on our prayer list that are lost with many opportunities to hear the truth before it's too late. And we offer these prayers unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.